again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. And those of you that are listening by computer as WMAF streams online, we're so glad to have you join us today. And those of you that have downloaded this particular message from our website, we're glad you are hearing this broadcast today. Amen. We are so glad to be part of what God is doing and to be a voice for what God is saying in these last of the last days. I believe He's getting a bride ready for the bridegroom to come because we are living in the very end times that the Bible talked about. The prophecies are very, very clear, and it's lining up with the events that are transpiring right now in our day. And this message that has been preached for many, many, many years now, many millennium, is now just about to be fulfilled. And all of these things are just about to come to pass as they are written. Praise God. Every prophecy concerning the first coming of Jesus was fulfilled to the letter. Amen. And every prophecy concerning His second coming is being fulfilled to the letter as well, and will be. Praise God. So if you're a Christian today, I want you to listen intently to this message today about the supreme mission of the Holy Spirit, His present day ministry concerning the greatest work of God in our fallen world, and that is to get a bride for Jesus. Hallelujah. And we just want you to hear it. We're going to talk about that bride of Christ in just a few moments. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Genesis 24:4. If you're not a Christian today, please stay tuned. I want you to hear of God's great love for you. And I pray as you listen to His message that you will feel it deep, deep within your heart. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is very near you if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, because this is His great work. Amen. Hallelujah. His great mandate from God is to seek and to save, just like Jesus coming in the first time. Listen carefully to the message today. Would you do that? Before we go to the Word of God, we would like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. THCOG, that stands for the Holy Church of God, where I've been pastor for 37 years, and we would be so happy to have you come and visit with us and download any of the materials that you feel would be a blessing to you or to someone else. The only thing we ask, if you download to an MP3 player of some sort, is that you just make no charge for any of these things. We freely have received them. We are freely given them because of the benevolence and love of others who have helped us go through this great door of opportunity. Amen. To bring the gospel to everyone who will listen. Praise God. Amen. Now I'm going to read from Genesis 24:4. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. A charge from Abraham to his servant concerning his son. Praise God. And the very personal, precise command to go and get a bride. Get a woman worthy of my son and bring her back unto him for the purpose of marriage. Took him about 400-mile journey to find this gal. But I'm telling you, when he found her, he found a wonderful lady. Amen. And God is preparing a wonderful bride for Jesus Christ by His Spirit today. And that's what one commentator writes about the entire 24th chapter of the book of Genesis. He said, this chapter is highly illustrative of God the Father, who sends forth His Holy Spirit to win the consent of the individual soul to become the bride of His Son. Keep these resemblances constantly in mind as you read and see how the story unfolds. First meet the Father and note His concern about His Son's bride. Then get acquainted with the Holy Spirit's great selfless heart, whose one purpose is to win the girl for His Master's Son. Then meet the Son and note His tenderness as He claims His bride. By the way, he says the longest chapter in Genesis is devoted to this important story. Amen. The main characters are Abraham, Isaac, Rebekah, and the unnamed servant of Abraham. Abraham is 140 years old, and his son Isaac is 40. It's time for Abraham to find a bride and time for Isaac to take a bride. The story ends with the unnamed servant bringing Isaac a bride, and it was love on both their part at first sight. So we're going today in verse 63, we're going to see about the son waiting to see the bride. And as we come to the end of the chapter, we see Isaac waiting. First time we've actually seen Isaac since Moriah in Genesis 22. It reminds us of two comings of our Lord. He came the first time to die for us. He will come the second to take us home. In between, we are waiting for the day when we see him face to face. Remember, it's a 400-mile journey before we get to the event of Isaac and Rebekah being united. Amen. And as they traveled back to Isaac's, as she consented to go and be his bride, sight unseen, she learned of him. And what she learned about him on that trip from the servant of Abraham caused her to long for him. She literally fell in love with him sight unseen. And I got to say it again. I don't want to be too repetitive here, but I want to say it again. The Bible says in the New Testament, amen, whom having not seen, we love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. There is a work of the Holy Spirit to not only introduce us to Christ and invite us to Jesus Christ, but to reveal his virtues unto us until we begin to fall in love, literally to fall in love with Jesus. If that's too mushy for you, I'm very sorry. I'm not just here to bring you theological fact, but to tell you that there is a real sense of the loving kindness of God that is expressed beautifully and perfectly in his Son. Someone that we can understand, we can see what God is like, because the Bible said of Jesus, speaking of himself, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the more I learn about Jesus, the more I love him, and the more I love God. Amen. And because she longed for him, because she fell in love for him, she began to look for him. She couldn't wait to see him. There was a holy anticipation in her heart. Praise the Lord. And the Bible said in verse 63 of Genesis 24, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. He went out to meet her. We see Rebekah coming to Isaac and Isaac going out to meet her. And there will come a glorious day, friend, when the Lord Jesus will go out to meet his bride and we will go out to meet him. Notice the reaction of Rebekah in verse 64. It said, and Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Praise God. She saw him afar off and she jumped off the camel to run to him. The servant had been talking about her new husband, giving her symbols of his glory all the way. And when she sees him, she's so excited, she jumps off her camel and starts running toward him. And notice the respect of Rebekah in verse 65. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, this is my master. Then she took a veil and covered herself. Friend, on that glorious day, we will reverently fall at the feet of the one who loved us and saved us by giving himself for us. We not only see Isaac meeting the bride, but also we see Isaac marrying the bride. Let me remind you that the first meal we're going to eat together is called the marriage supper of the Lamb. Praise God in the New Testament. We read in verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. There's a glorious wedding ahead for everyone that is saved. What a day! What a glorious day, the songwriter said, that will be. all the gifts of the Spirit, all the anointings, all the works of conviction and revelation, all the movings and blessings are working together to one great end, and that is to get a bride for the Son and to present that bride to the Son. Praise the Lord. As believers, we are called to be the bride of Christ in the New Testament. The collectively and personally to be the glorious church, anxiously longing, but patiently waiting and working while we wait for His coming. You know that God isn't going to do a new thing in 2011 or 2012 or 2013. Amen. He's going to do the great work that He has commissioned the Holy Spirit and the church to do. And that is to seek and to save the lost. To continue to reveal Himself to His people, both to challenge and to change us, and to use our lives as we live them as a witness to the world of His great love, and to use every one of us in a grand ministry, amen, to work with the Holy Spirit, and that is the ministry of reconciliation to everyone that is saved. God has given that wonderful ministry of reconciliation. Well, the Bible said, amen, that she looked for Him until she saw Him, and then she lit off her camel, ran to Him, put a veil over her face, honored Him, amen, and it was the consummation of a love that began sight unseen. And there was a word that was used to denote this longing for and looking for Jesus in the New Testament church, and it was the word Maranatha. And in 1 Corinthians 16:22, we find that word. It said, "If any man love not the Lord Christ, let him be anathema." And then at the end of that, there's a pause, and then Maranatha. There's a twofold meaning in this verse of Scripture. Anathema means a man accursed. It talks about doomed to destruction or without hope or being redeemed. Anathema, coupled with Maranatha, means Christ is coming to judge the world. So it means that on one hand, there is a fear and a trembling at His coming. But Maranatha is the word from the bride that says, "Oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes again." A word of warning, Christ is coming to judge the world, but a word of hope and courage. The Lord is come, and He will come to receive His people. Maranatha. For Christians in the first century and Christians in the 21st century, Maranatha is a word of hope and joyous anticipation. Christ is coming to claim His bride. I like Smith's Bible Dictionary. It defines Maranatha as "our Lord cometh." One commentator defines it this way, a watchword of first century Christians to express the thought, "our Lord cometh." First, it's a word of warning, but second, it's a word of great hope. Maranatha denotes a longing for His coming. Revelation 22 and verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come and drink and the river of life freely." Let him take the river of life freely. It's almost like God wouldn't, well, it's not almost, it's absolutely, God would not close the book, the Bible, without a last invitation to come and be saved. Come and be reconciled unto Him. Come and be sealed by the Holy Spirit. And He said it should be the work of the bride, every Christian, to say come, to give the invitation everywhere we go, to everyone we meet, at every opportunity. You know, the Bible said we as Christians are to be instant, in season, out of season. We're to be ready anytime, amen, to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in us. What God has done for you, if you're a Christian, what God has done for me, not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a Christian, what God has done to change my life and give me living water and keep my family from being destroyed. What He's done when He healed me of leukemia, amen, and gave me life instead of death. What He's done in His Son for me. I could go on and on and on as a Christian, not as a minister, just as a man who has met Jesus Christ today and the change that it has made in my life and the blessings it has brought to my life and to my family. Praise God. The Bible said, be ready at all times to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in you. Be instant in season, out of season. Praise God. I want that hope to be so visible, that glad anticipation of future good that dwells in me in spite of any circumstance of life. I want people to see the joy of Jesus and the anticipation of the great things that are coming for those who know Him. I want them to see it on my worst day. Hallelujah. That hope is real and it reflects what my love for Him, my longing for Him, and my looking for Him. Praise the Lord. It's the great ministry of the bride to say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This is the watchword for the true church. When Jesus says He's coming, we respond with joyous anticipation. Maranatha, the Lord cometh. Praise the Lord. The true bride of Christ longs for His return. The Spirit who conveys His love bears witness in the heart of the true church. Come, Lord Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears the gospel of Christ and responds can take up the cry, come, Lord Jesus, and come to Jesus. Anyone who wants to join the redeemed, even this day, even before this broadcast is over, can come and drink of the river of life and then turn right around, amen, and cry, come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha denotes a looking for His coming. Hebrews 9, verse 27 and 28 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ once suffered, or once was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It doesn't mean that Christ is sinless, that is already established. He is without sin. Without sin means His redemptive work is finished. He's not coming to do anything else concerning redemption. He has done that. He's coming for the redeemed. I like it from the Amplified. It kind of clarifies that. It said, even so, it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon Himself and bear as a burden the sins of many once and once for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin, nor to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Praise the God. Amen. Those who live in anticipation of His coming will live in a state of readiness for His coming. You know, Jesus said, be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. The word Maranatha is a Syriac term, and it's an expression that means the Lord comes. It was used as a greeting in the early church. When believers gathered or parted, they didn't say hello or goodbye. They said, Maranatha. Praise the Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If we had the same upward look in the 21st century church and postmodern Christianity, it would revolutionize the church. And I believe it would contribute so much to the evangelizing of the world. Oh, that God's people had an awareness of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Maranatha denotes a living in the light of His coming. 1 John 3:2-3 says, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. One paraphrase reads, "All of us who look forward to His coming stay ready with the glistening purity of Jesus' life as a model for our own." Praise God. If you're living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus, amen. We used to sing the song about it, "Keeping my records bright, watching both day and night, I'm getting ready to leave this world." Praise God. In fact, when I first became a Christian, my pastor used to say, "We can't sing it like that, because when He splits the eastern sky, there will be no time for getting ready." Amen. At midnight there was a cry, "The bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet Him." There was no time to go get oil in the lamp. We had to have the lamps already trimmed and burning. Amen. Praise God. So we used to sing that great Christian hymn, "I am ready to leave this world. I am ready for the gates of pearl." Praise the Lord. Are you ready today? Should Jesus come today, are you ready to go out to meet Him? Are you longing for Him? Are you looking for Him? Praise God. Are you living your life in the light of His soon coming? Has it affected your moral choices? Has it affected your moral judgments? Has it affected, amen, your priorities of your life? Has it made you want to get clean, to get clear, to get close to God? It should have that effect upon us. Praise the Lord. I like what G. Campbell Morgan, a preacher from the last century, said. He said, "To me, the second coming is the perpetual light in the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head down on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. I never begin my work without thinking perhaps He may interrupt my work and begin His own." Maranatha, friend, according to one Greek scholar, is not just a wishful hope, but a cry, a summons, similar to a busy New Yorker trying to hail a cab. When you yell, "Taxi, taxi," you are asking the cab driver to meet your immediate and urgent need to get to somewhere else. When we cry, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus," we cry out of our immediate and urgent desire to go with Him to that place where there's no suffering or death, and no wars, and no heartache, and no heartbreak, and no sickness, and no disease, where the gates are always open, and the tree of life brings healing to the nations. It makes me want to cry out in my heart, "Maranatha, Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." Praise God. Amen. And I pray that if you are a Christian today, that that is your heart cry as well. And if your heart has lost that longing for Him, and you've stopped even looking for Him, I want to challenge you today to be stirred deep inside, to go back to the Bible. Amen. To get in a Bible-believing church and a Bible-teaching church if you're not in one. Amen. Listen very carefully. This is too important to play some kind of political game with or some kind of theological game with. We can't just let ourselves lose this vital longing and looking for Jesus, especially in these last of the last days. You know what the scripture said? It says scoffers will come. And I thought it just meant without, but there are even scoffers within the church today. And scoffers will come, saying, "Where is the sign of His coming? For ever since our fathers slept, ever since our previous generations have died, heard this message and nothing has happened. Where is the sign of His coming? For ever since our fathers died, everything remains the same as it is to this day. But of this, they are willingly ignorant. Willfully ignorant, literally. Amen. That a day is 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is as one day. But God is long-suffering. The only reason He's waiting, He won't let them provoke Him to coming prematurely. There's a window of opportunity still open to win the lost. The door of the ark is still open, and God's message is still, come, come and be saved. Come and be kept. Come and be safe from the wrath to come. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad today to be a Christian, number one. And I'm so glad to be a minister of the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad to be a participant in the great work of the Holy Spirit today. To be able to say to all who will hear, come and drink of the river of life freely. God is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but that all would have eternal life. Praise God, but make no mistake about it. God is going to keep His word to the letter. Jesus is coming just like He said that He would. And that event is about to take place. I'm convinced of that. I feel such a stirring. I've preached for all of these years. Amen. But I've never felt stirred like I feel right now to declare the good news of Jesus soon coming to a generation of people and to call people to Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And to try to inspire and encourage Christians to lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing very, very nigh. Praise the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus today, I am absolutely convinced that the Holy Spirit, who is seeking a bride for God's Son and our Savior, is where you are right now. I'm convinced He's reaching out to you. I'm convinced He's drawing you to Jesus. And here's the great question. Will you reject Him? Will you shove Him away? Or will you respond to His call to come? I could call you all day long, and I will, but only the Holy Spirit can truly grab a hold of your heart, pull you toward Jesus. Will you push Him away? Or will you open your heart door and say, Jesus Christ, I want You as my Lord and my personal Savior. I will not reject You, but I will respond to Your love and Your sacrifice by asking for Your forgiveness. You say, Brother Venable, I don't know if I can live the Christian life. I'm not talking to you about living the life yet. I'm talking to you about opening the door of your heart. God is not asking you, amen, to change yourself initially, but to change your mind about sinning. Amen. To repent, to do an about face. Amen. And if you will come to Him just like you are and invite Him in, confess your sins, repent of them, and invite Him in, He said, I will come in and sup with you and you with me. And if you would do that today, He will make the changes and then He will empower you to begin to live for Him. That's not the first step. That's the second phase. The first is to invite Him in, to accept His invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And I pray you will open the door today. And if you do, and He will come in like He said, and I know that He will, then the Bible said you will become, amen, part of the bride of Jesus Christ. And you'll be ready when He comes. He'll seal you with the Holy Ghost, mark you as His own. Praise God. And then, friend, you could have the great privilege and honor to tell others what He's done for you so that they may come to know Him as well. Daddy, you could win your family. Mama, you could win your family. Wife, you could win your husband. Husband, you could win your wife. You could win your children. And yes, children, you could win your parents. Would you come back next week? and let's talk about Jesus.
When all these bitterness get washed away, yeah. God speed that moment when I can stand up and cry. I see.